Welcome to Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.
Oh, I love a bit of chocolate. I love a good Easter egg.
A bit of chocolate. Just back that truck up over the left.
Well, I love to have my cake and eat it too. And I think that's a perfect segue into our guest for this week.
Oh, pastry cook. What a pastry cook she is. A MasterChef back to win winner in 2020. So the best of the best.
She bakes a beautiful cake, not to mention decorates a beautiful cake.
Go to a website and have a look at some of the creations. And I'm telling you, whoa.
Absolutely awe-inspiring. Amelia Jackson is the person we're talking about. She'd be familiar to viewers of MasterChef because, as you mentioned, Kevin, she came back again for a second helping, so to speak, and was successful. She was the winner of that return season.
But, in 2020, she was third in her first crack at it, and we'll talk to her about both those things, coming back and the first time she went there as well.
She's now the mum to two beautiful young kids, and we talked to her about where she's at these days and how her life has changed and how it's all going.
A very good cooking tip and kitchen tip coming up from her as well, and we'll talk about obviously the MasterChef experience and what it's like to be, you know, all of a sudden go from no one knowing who you are to walking in the supermarket and people looking at you going,
"Don't I know you?
Yeah, aren't you?"
Some very funny anecdotes about that.
Yes, there are. And our Friday food poll.
We're going through the drive-thru at Macca's.
Yeah, we are, which a lot of people will be doing this weekend. Don't you worry about that.
Oh, yeah.
The long weekend, you're in the car for a long time driving somewhere and you go, oh, you know what? Yeah, let's go to the drive-thru.
Yeah.
And what would you have if you get to the dessert column?
Mm-hmm. Well, either the sundae, beautiful soft serve,
Or
burn the roof of your mouth off.
Oh.
With the hot apple pie.
We'll find out what you think, apple pie or sundae. That's coming up in the food poll. But now let's get to our guest for this week, a winner of MasterChef back in 2020. It's Amelia Jackson.
You're listening to Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.
Amelia, it's wonderful to speak to you and have you on our show. You came to prominence on our TV screens via MasterChef. But prior to that, Amelia, before I imagine that turned your life upside down, what were you doing?
I was actually in marketing. So it feels like an absolute lifetime ago now, but I got my start in marketing, in travel marketing actually, but I always loved cooking. So I can't actually remember a time where I wasn't cooking. I got some crazy birthday presents as a child. Like my 14th birthday present was a set of knives. So I've always...
Were you in a gang?
Look, not that set of knives, but, you know, could have gone askew. But no, I've always loved cooking, and I always wanted to open a little cafe being from Melbourne. So, yeah, MasterChef totally turned that dream on its head for me.
So we picture you as a child with the beaters in hand with bowls in the kitchen making a glorious mess. Was that pretty much accurate?
That was totally accurate. My poor mother, my poor long-suffering mother was always the clean-up person for me. I would make an absolute bomb of her kitchen.
So were you the go-to person for your friends to do cakes and do all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Even as early as like early high school, I would be bringing in birthday cakes, and we'd be sitting around at lunchtime singing happy birthday to some ridiculous elaborate cake. I've always been that person, and I just always loved it. I don't know, it's the way I express myself creatively.
And baking was something that you gravitated to specifically. And I mean, as we know and we've seen, baking is a very scientific pursuit, isn't it?
It is. I think my love of it stems from the fact that I am made up of 80% sugar at this point. I have an enormous sweet tooth, so I had to kind of crack the code and work out how I could make it all for myself, which is it's somewhat dangerous. I can always go to my pantry and turn nothing into something, and it's a really dangerous place to be.
So this enormous sweet tooth of yours, that's problematic, isn't it?
Totally problematic, and my partner has a big sweet tooth too, so we're just We're just too, like, there's no one to control us. We're just out of control.
So that hasn't changed, given your profession today. I mean, you're a leading pastry cook, and your creations are just, well, they're breathtaking, to say say the least. So that hasn't diminished that sweet tooth, given that on a day-to-day basis you're faced with sweet stuff all the time.
You'd think it would, but absolutely not. I get a real joy out of creating sweets. I get a real kick out of it, and it hasn't diminished, oddly enough.
So were there fancy desserts when you were growing up, and what other food was on the table apart from stuff infused with lots of sugar?
Mm-hmm. I feel like growing up it wasn't super fancy. It was more like I went through like a real chocolate fondant stage. I made so many chocolate fondants, but lots of like sticky date puddings and all the classics. I also kind of kicked my mum out of the kitchen at around, I think I was about 12, I kicked her out of the kitchen and I took over making most of the dinners. I think there was a few horrific ones in there. Like, I hadn't quite mastered flavours and balance and that type of thing. So I think there was a few full-on dinners there for a while.
So heading into the MasterChef kitchen as you did, and obviously you were very well versed when it came to cooking sweet things, but you were required to cook a lot more beyond that and come up with savoury dishes. What was that challenge like for you?
Well, I really love cooking savoury food. You know, I really love making homemade pasta, and I love making sort of having something bubbling on the stove all day and slow braising and curries and all that type of thing. So I actually really enjoyed the savoury side of cooking. I think the biggest MasterChef challenge for me at the time was reining myself in, because you get set this challenge and then you run into the pantry and there's literally every ingredient available to you, ingredients that you've never even seen before, and it's like a kid in the candy shop. You don't know when to stop. So I feel like that was my biggest challenge.
Yeah, too much choice sometimes can be a bad thing. You just don't know where to start.
You'd run in there and there would be Wagyu and lobster and marin flown in from WA and caviar, and you just had no idea what – you'd never used those ingredients in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. Now, we have spoken to several contestants and judges from MasterChef on this show, and there's a common theme that it is a real, to use a foodie term, pressure cooker environment, and quite relentless at times. What was the overall experience like for you the first time, and then when you came back the second time?
I think the first time I found really stressful. I really felt that pressure cooker environment that everyone talks about. It's not something that you can describe unless you've really experienced it. I think you put in this real bubble. The film time goes for about 5 or 6 months. You have very limited contact with your outside world. They take, you know, you don't have the phone, you don't have the internet, and it becomes your entire world. You get so caught up on the experience that it becomes the most important thing in your life. So every time there's an elimination or anything like that, it's sort of a doom and gloom level of stress. But more than that, you just really want to do well. And so every challenge feels very full on and like a huge amount of pressure. The second time I competed, I was a bit older, a bit more mature, and I kind of thought to myself, when as an adult do you ever get to just lock yourself away and have fun just for you? Like, that never really happens as an adult. Mm. And so I really went into it thinking, I'm just going to have the best time and just really enjoy this experience. Which is what I did for probably the first half of the competition, and then I almost got eliminated, and then I thought, oh, I should probably take this a bit more seriously now.
That first time, there's a lot of ambition and sort of, you know, what the outcome will be, whereas the second time it was a lot more relaxed, obviously, and that was the difference in the experiences?
I think the biggest difference was, you know, the first time you think that it's going to make or break whatever future career you're going to have, and then regardless of whether you win or not, you go away and you work on the career. And in my case, you know, I built up this great cake business and I was making, you know, massive wedding cakes every week and dessert catering and that type of thing. And so then the second time you compete, you go into it thinking, this is just going to enhance that. It's not going to be the be-all and end-all. And so no matter where you place in the competition, you know that you're going to use it as a bit of a springboard to do whatever you want to do next. So it doesn't feel as make or break, you know. It doesn't feel like if you don't win, you're not going to be able to build something great for yourself afterwards. So I think that's the real difference.
Amelia, how'd you handle the fame that comes with it and the notoriety and people recognising you in the street or in the supermarket? How'd you handle that part of it?
Oh, I'm the most awkward person on earth. People, I'm so terrible. I can't lean into it still. At least once a day still I get people saying, "Do I know you?" they can't quite place me, and that's the most uncomfortable question for me, because in my head I'm like, do I lead with MasterChef? Do I just say, oh, I don't think so? Do I make up a story? And then I just get this, I get stressed. I start sweating.
Yeah, you strike us as someone who, you know, the last thing you would want to do is to be seen to be big noting yourself or anything like that.
No, it's not for me. It's really not for me. And people, they can't quite place my face. You know, immediately after the show, it was, oh my God, I loved you so much. And, you know, and so it wasn't as awkward for me. We could just sort of talk about MasterChef and then move on. But now it's like, did we used to go to school together?
It's even harder.
I actually have a bit of an awkward story about that. I was first time mum when I had Addie, and I caught up with my mother's group. And because we were in lockdown and all of that when I had Addie, mother's group was all over Zoom. So it was the first time that we were able to catch up in person. Mm. And then we'd had this really nice catch up. And then one of the women said, I think I know you from somewhere. I think we might have gone to school together. And I said, oh, no, actually I was on MasterChef. And she goes, oh, I don't watch that. Did you go to Sienna? And I was like, yes, I did go to Sienna. And we actually went to school together. And I was like, oh, my God, I must sound like I'm really into myself. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, it's like when you're in radio and, you know, that comes up and people say, oh, yeah, no, I don't listen to Triple M.
Yes. Oh, you just feel so bad, don't you?
Thanks for sharing that, but, yeah.
The Back to Win series of MasterChef, let's finish off that experience. I mean, did that take it to another level?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think I was in any way prepared for what was to come after that. I mean, it was just insanity. I launched a packet mix and I kind of thought to myself, oh, no one's going to want to buy this cake packet mix. And then I just remember seeing, you know, thousands of orders come through and I had no stock, and it was just an entirely different, incredible experience. I don't think I've ever felt more supported by strangers in my life. It was amazing. And just what's come out of the last 4 years now. I mean, I've been able to write 2 cookbooks, and my world is just constantly evolving, and it's really special.
So now, fast forwarding, well, as we are to the present day, you're a mum of 2 beautiful children. You've got your hands full with your baking commitments. So where does coffee, if at all, where does that fit in your lifestyle?
Where doesn't it fit in my life? At this point, it's on an IV drip.
Oh, really? So are you a coffee snob, or will you just take what's available?
I'm only a snob if I buy the coffee. You know, if I'm buying myself a coffee, it needs to be good. But otherwise, I don't know if I should admit this, but I actually love an instant.
Wash your mouth out.
I know, terrible. I shouldn't have said it.
But it's okay because you have a nice bit of cake with it, I'm assuming.
Exactly. You offset it with like sugar and cream, and it, you know, you're pretty much just burying it.
So what are you up to now? What are you experimenting with at the moment in the kitchen?
So I've just finished my second book, which is all about cookies. So cookies have been kind of dominating my life at the moment. But I've literally just finished that, and I've been able to focus on some really great brand ambassadorships with other brands. So I've just been working with Katoomba Foods on their new Kulfi range that they've just released, and I've done some beautiful little dessert recipes with them. You know, I've had some great brand ambassadorships with my oven belling and all of that. So it's all a real melting pot of different things that I get to do, which is really fun.
I want to ask about cookies. I love cookies. I'm a biscuit bandit and a cookie bandit. So where are cookies going? Have we taken them to the level where we've done as much mucking around with them as we possibly can and we're going back to simple ones, or where are we going with it?
I think there's a bit of a balance. I mean, a simple cookie is a beautiful thing. You know, my cookie book is divided into four chapters, and the first one is called Basic Bickies. But it's probably my favourite chapter. I mean, I tested my Anzac recipe 15 times because I just needed it to be perfect. And they were my favourite cookies to eat, like a Scottish shortbread, just beautiful butter use. And you know, I feel like anything basic baked, to be honest, is beautiful. But cookies especially, I think they really shine when they're paired back. That being said, though, there are a few belters in there that are quite complicated.
Right.
But beautifully delicious.
You've just reeled off Kevin's two top favourites, the Anzacs and the buttery shortbreads, yes.
You can't go past them, can you? They're just
they're
everything a cookie should be, just sweet, buttery, simple perfection.
Yep, I'm with you.
Amelia, what about in the teaching space? Is that a happy, comfortable fit for you as well?
Yes, absolutely. I love running classes, which I will probably be bringing back later on in the year. But I really I find baking and sweets and desserts so easy to talk about, and I love meeting people who are equally as passionate about them as me. So it's a really sort of comfortable exchange for me.
What about people who are feeling a bit intimidated? I mean, we look at your beautiful creations and think, oh, gosh, gee, I don't know if I could even have a crack at that. And, I mean, I imagine there's a lot of patience involved in the pursuit. But what about people just starting out? What would be your advice to them if they want to get into to baking?
I think that there's so much conversation. I mean, you even mentioned it at the start. There's so much conversation around, like, baking is a science. And I feel like it's a really off-putting thing to say. There are scientific things that happen within baking, but I don't think baking is a science. I think that more than that, it's all about experience. And I've had so many failures. It took me about 6 months of making macarons and literally throwing them in the bin, like bin after bin after bin after bin.
You're probably throwing them at the wall at some stage too.
Yeah, I was. But before I was able to get a macaron product that I was happy with. And I think that's the real key. It's, you're going to fail, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you sort of learn from your failures. If you make a cake and it comes out dense, jump on Google and work out why it came dense. Like, think about the steps that you took to get there. And then I think the most important thing is to start with something really simple. You know, start with just a vanilla cake or start with a chocolate chip cookie and make it so many times that you're truly sick of it, that you think it's perfection, and it will give you, it will really build your confidence to move on to the next thing and to move on to the next thing.
Are home cooks that you come into contact with through your teaching, are they adventurous? Do they want to try really adventurous things rather than just the sort of standard stuff?
Yeah, they're really adventurous. I think people come to me and come to sort of classes because they want to expand their repertoire and they're looking for some guidance to do that.
Yep.
And so people are generally pretty adventurous and, I think with baking it's so nice to have someone that can sort of literally hold your hand through the steps while you work it out so you can save yourself those 6 months of macaron failures. then I think if you can go away with some of the skills that you learned and apply those to different bakes, then you're on a really good path.
You've inspired me to persevere with the macarons pursuit because until I started trying to make them, I never heard of macarons needing feet on them. Apparently they need good feet.
I know this. I mean, even still to this day, I'll make a batch of macarons and I'm just like, what did I do wrong?
I've eaten many a failed macaron in this particular kitchen.
Well, I'll do one batch of 16 and I end up with maybe one or two.
They're still delicious though, aren't they?
Yes, no, they are. I'm not denying that. I'm very good. I could run a class next to yours in eating rather than baking or cooking. I could run the eating part of it. Now, I've got to ask you one question that I know you're involved with, one product, and I don't know anything about it, and I'd love to know about Indian ice cream.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a it's huge in India, and I don't think it's really made its stamp here in Australia yet, and it should do. It's kulfi, and it's a lot lighter than, you know, a thick, rich, creamy ice cream that we're potentially used to here. And the most beautiful thing is it's really slow melting. It's made by boiling down milk to reduce some of the water content, and it, as a result, it leads to a really slow melting ice cream. So it's really great to use in desserts. If you're having a dinner party and you've got a plate up like 10 desserts, quite stressful to do with an ice cream, and it starts melting by the time you've plated number 10. You know, number one is a bit of a puddly mess. So kulfi is a really beautiful one to use in that sense.
Okay. Is it more like a sorbet sort of texture, or is it still got an ice creamy texture?
No, it's still an ice creamy texture. It's just a bit lighter.
Okay.
There you go. Now, usually,
a beautiful product.
Just to wrap up, Amelia, we love to ask our guests if they have a cooking, or I guess in your case, a baking or kitchen tip to share. Do you have one of those?
Definitely. I think my biggest baking tip, and this is probably not that exciting, but read the recipe before you start. Read through the entire thing. There's so many times where I just want to dive in and get started, and then halfway through I'm like, what am I doing? So I think if you read through the entire recipe, you're on good stead for success.
Now, at the risk of, causing World War III here, are women or men better bakers
Kevin.
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, there you go. Good one.
Good on you.
Good move, Amelia.
No, very, very, very politically correct move. Just something I was wondering. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute delight to catch up with you, and people can jump on your website and see what you're doing and get involved and maybe take a class.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That would be great.
Thanks, Amelia.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Food Bite with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.
All right, that's a great tip. Great tip.
Terrific. She was a lot of fun.
Keep it simple. She's very good.
Yeah.
Very good indeed. Oh, can she create
now,
some
after
wonderful
all those
things?
Magnificent, outstanding cakes, I feel like we're cheapening it somewhat by introducing Macca's to the equation.
We go to the drive through.
But we all like a bit of a Macca's fix.
We do.
Here
and you've,
there,
got to, you've got to have
once
that
once in a kind blue moon.
Indulgence. Yes, I totally agree. So,
well, I happen to know someone in this very room loves a Macca's soft serve only if it comes in chocolate, and he hasn't been able to get what he wants lately. I don't know who that could be.
I don't know who it is either, but if I knew him, you know what I'd say? What? Macca's, if you're going to have it on the menu, have it on the menu all the time.
Mm.
Don't let me pull into the drive-thru on the two occasions I've done recently and go, so I'd like a soft serve. Mm. And they go, yeah, no problem. A chocolate one. We're not doing chocolate.
Mm. He won't accept the vanilla variety.
No, I don't. I actually backed out of the drive-thru.
Yes. I did. Well, that's controversial in itself.
Well, that's because the time before I actually drove through the drive-thru, and there's nothing more embarrassing than looking at the people as you drive past going, no, I'm the bloke with the ice cream. It's not.
Well, let's see what people think between the sundae and the apple pie. And Silvana starts us and says, this is a hard one for me as I love both of them.
Muriel Cooper says, totally sundae. My lip is still permanently scarred. I imagine that's from a bit of
Hot apple pie.
Yep. Yep.
But, well, I think it has a warning on the label. Is that piping hot filling inside?
Yes, it does.
Caution.
Duh.
Cherie Dodson says, can I have both?
Merv Hughes doesn't want both. He just wants a hot apple pie.
With lots of exclamation marks. He wants to emphasise that. He wants the hot apple
pie. That's instead of cream.
Yep. Joylene says sundae, but caramel sauce, not the chocolate.
Oh, yum. Sue Landry says apple pie by a smidgen.
Rebecca says, I used to like both back in the day.
Robbie Elliott says, apple pie, please.
Mm. Artie says, the apple pie, but I prefer to make my own.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Artie, because David Bird has come to your rescue. Here it is. He likes hot apple pie, but he likes it done in the Breville.
Yes.
Here you go. White bread, some tinned pink lady apples. You can get normal ones too. Cinnamon and some brown sugar. In the Breville, off you go.
Hello. Isn't that more like an apple toasted sandwich?
Yeah, well, that's what an apple pie is in the McDonald's.
Sort of, it's a pocket full of apple.
Yeah, exactly.
Rachel says a sundae.
Glenn Rodder says, well, Pato, I loves me ice cream, so my first choice is the sundae.
Yeah, but you can whack a big wadge of ice cream on your apple pie too.
I cool loves it me down.
Davin Nicholas says, apple pie for me, thanks, Sarah.
Marley Blah says, both for me, Food Bites with Sarah Patterson, as they are delicious.
Everyone's saying my name. They're very well-mannered, these people. Charlene says, ooh, hot apple pie by a whisker for me.
Lauren says, I choose the apple pie every time, Paddo.
Kathleen says, chocolate sundae with, Kevin, fries dipped in it.
Sorry.
A lot of people like to do that.
I know people love to do that. I think
the
it's
hot and the cold.
I think that's one step too far.
But hang on, have you tried it?
Yes, I have. Oh. Of course I have. Ali says, sundae for sure. Or maybe a McFlurry.
Oh, gee, just to mix things up.
Why not?
Sharon says, I can't say I've never had them.
Oh, Sharon, please, get a life. Gig says a pie for me, but caution, filling is hot.
Oh, there you go. That is what the label says.
Thank you, Giggs.
Stephen Tuzel says, Lordy, that apple pie is just cardboard personified. There you go.
Not a good experience for Stephen. Now, Old Croaky says, nothing accompanies a hot coffee better than a Macca's sundae. Mm. Introducing the large size was the best thing the company did. Mm. Now, the toughest decision is which topping to have. Occasionally, the decision is so difficult, I just go with plain.
Thank you, Old Croaky.
Take one for the team there, Old Croaky.
Candace Wyatt from Channel 10 News, caramel sundae.
I'm with you, Candace. And a wine off the Twitter says a sundae. Now, the voting is in.
Oh.
Stand by.
Okay. You're hiding it from me. I can't even see it.
Stand by for the most controversial vote count in the history of Food Bites with Sarah Patterson.
Salivating.
The scrutineers have scrutinized several
don't
times.
Don't trust them.
They have. They've scrutinized several times. Here's the voting. Both, 10%.
Uh-huh.
Apple pie.
Oh, no.
45%, which those of you.
This is what I think is going to happen.
Those of you counting at home, that means the sundae is 45% as well.
No way, Jose.
So even on preferences, it's both. It's a tie.
That's some serious scrutiny that you've done there.
We've done it on several occasions. I went back and recounted, and it is as even as the day is long.
Interesting, given they are both, you know, polar opposites in terms of temperature, in terms of texture.
Oh, I did make a suggestion on Twitter that maybe if you dunk the apple pie in the sundae.
Put them both together. Yes.
If you're going to have both, you might as well go the whole hog, I reckon.
It's very interesting to find that out.
There you go. So that's
a tie. We don't have many of those.
No, we don't. Vladimir Putin said that's exactly how the votes came out.
And we trust him.
Yes.
Not.
So that is Food Bites for another week. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to Amelia for being on the show. We really appreciate it. We've got some great guests coming up, including Ada Nicodemu.
Oh, yes.
And from the Melbourne Storm, Chris Lewis.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
What more could you want?
Some good ones coming up. So enjoy. Have a happy Easter.
Thanks for listening to Food Bites. Check out our Facebook page for recipes, tips and all the latest news. That's Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.